Glad to see everyone out on a rainy, maybe icy day, but it turned out where the Lord was gracious to us this morning. We were able to come, and hopefully He'll do the same this evening for the Christmas play. They've got a lot of examples for what I'm going to speak about here at the chapel. One of the biggest ones that we can see around us, the work that went in for the play that's coming up tonight with the leaders and the children that are coming to share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ this evening. My topic for today that the Lord has laid on my heart is investing. And most of y'all know that I'm a numbers guy and a money person as far as trying to be a good steward, and I don't always do it, but try to use my money for the Lord. But this is in a different light this morning. Investing in our time with God, in our time with our family, and investing in other people. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew 25. It's going to be our main section. Matthew 25, starting with verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants, delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to the other 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them 5 other talents. And likewise he had received the other 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged it in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of these servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so that he that received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he that which have 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee to be a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strowed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there that hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strowed. Thou oughtest therefore to put the money into the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have at least received the interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to the one which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And he cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What we see here in this passage of Scripture, that the one that was in charge, of course, here is Jesus Christ. The ones that were left, at first it looks like they're all 3 believers, 3 servants. We find out later on that one of them was just a pretend, because we can see by his works that his faith was not true. But we can see that it's important to invest. It's important to invest, and not so that our bank account can get larger, our stock portfolio can get larger, but something that's going to last forever, that we invest into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of heaven. So that's what I want to focus on today, is about investing. 3 things that came to my heart that I wanted to invest in my life, was to invest in time with God, invest in my family, and also invest in other people. Now, I know there are a lot of other good things you can invest in, and this is not by any means exhaustive, but those are the 3 things that that I wanted to focus on today. One of the people that I think we can say as far as investing in God, and we know all of us, except for Christ, that lived on this earth are sinners, but one that I think had this figured out about investing in God was David. If you will, turn to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. We're thinking about investing in the kingdom. And before you can really invest into your family, before you can really invest like we should into other people, we have to invest in God. We have to be close with God, have a strong relationship with our Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you could look at Psalm 63, verse 1. A psalm by David when he was in the desert of Judah. You are my God, I worship you. In my heart, I long for you, as I would long for a stream in a scorching desert. I have seen your power and your glory in the place of worship. Your love means more than life to me, and I praise you. As long as I live, I will pray to you. I will sing joyful praises and be filled with excitement like a guest at a banquet. I think about you before I go to sleep, and my thoughts turn to you during the night. You have helped me, and I sing happy songs in the shadow of your wings. I stay close to you, and your powerful arm supports me. We see here David, and this is probably written when he was fleeing from Saul, fleeing for his life, and he was praying to God in the desert of Judah. And he's talking about that he worships him. In his heart, he longs for him as someone would long for a stream in a scorching desert. If we can get to that point, myself included here, where we long for God and to be with Him in an intimate way, like someone that is thirsting to death is looking for a stream. And we know that we have a lot of distractions, and we'll talk about that, a lot of things in this world. If we can separate ourselves from the world, get quiet, be still in front of the Lord, and just let Him talk to us through His Word and us pray back to Him. Spend time with Him in a quiet place, in a daily place, and let Him strengthen us with His Word. Investing in that time with God, where then we can go out and invest in others. In Acts 13:22, it says, later God removed Saul and let David rule in his place. God said about David, David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill my will. He did what he wanted him to do. David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill my will. And that's what our prayer should be for each one of us, that we have a heart after God. We have a heart after God. We're longing, we're panting for His truth, to be close with Him. And then when we have that type of heart, a soft heart, He can come in and strengthen us, and then we can go out and invest in other people. John 17:3 says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So we see here that we don't have to wait till heaven. Sometimes I think we think, well, we're saved, and that gets us into heaven, but that's just the beginning. Only Jesus Christ can save us through what He's done on the cross. The good works, the investing in other people, that comes as the fruit of what He's done in our heart. But if we want to have true eternal life is knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ in an intimate way. Not just in a far distant way as our Creator, but in a personal relationship as our friend, someone that cares about us and loves us, and we do the same for Him. In Philippians chapter 3, 7 and 8, but Christ has shown me that what I once thought was valuable is worthless. Nothing is as wonderful as knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I have given up everything else and counted all as garbage. All I want is Christ. This is Paul talking, and he's probably another one that had this figured out, the intimacy with God and with Christ, and he was sold out for God. He said everything else that he knew beforehand that he had gotten through himself, being a Pharisee and living by works. But Christ has shown me that what I once thought was valuable is worthless. And we can think of that as the world out there, the world system, is worthless. Nothing is as wonderful as knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior. I have given up everything else and counted all but garbage or dung. All I want is Christ. If we can get to that place in our lives where all we want is Jesus Christ, all the distractions are gone away, and are focused, we're sold out for Christ and wanting to get to know Him. I don't know if any of y'all saw a story this weekend from CNN, and I know a lot of times you have to be careful with the stories that you see, and it was about, even if it's, you may question it or not, to me it seemed real, and I know the only one that is died and come back to life for eternity is Jesus Christ, but it's a story about people that have died for minutes, and then they said that their spirit left their body, went to heaven, and then they were able to see what was going on. It was a story of this lady. She was a doctor and went on a trip down a river in a kayak, and she went down. Her husband didn't go with her, and she was going down this river. Everything, for some reason, didn't feel right. And there were a lot of waterfalls going down, and she just didn't feel right about the whole thing. She went down this waterfall and went down, and the edge of the kayak got caught underwater by these two rocks. It just went in there and got caught. So she was submerged underwater. She was with a group of about, I don't know, four or five other people, but she just disappeared, and they couldn't find her. So this went on, the story said, for about 30 minutes. And they never found her during those 30 minutes. Then she said, while this was going on, she was, of course, fighting for her life underneath that water, trying to move, couldn't move. Finally, she just said, Lord, thy will be done. And when she did that, she said her spirit left her, went up to heaven, and she had never felt so much love just flood over her. And the peace that she had in heaven. And then she had a talk with Jesus, and Jesus said that she must come back, that her job on earth wasn't done. So she went back. All of a sudden, there was a rock that showed up that wasn't there before. They were able to get to that rock and move it, and then it spit her out. And they said she was swollen up and blue. After 30 minutes, you're supposed to be dead. We're not having oxygen for that long. I think they were in Chile. Some Chileans, if I'm saying that right, just happened to be there, came and got her on the kayak, took her to this dirt road, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, there was an ambulance there to take her to the hospital. And she's still living today, of course, and gave that story. But the thing that kind of stuck out to me, and it's this world can get such a hold on you and things around you. She said that she had a loving husband and loving children that she loved more than anything else. But she did not want to come back. When she was in heaven, she did not want to come back. The love of God, everything else in comparison, was pale to the love of God that she felt in heaven. And that just made me realize that investing in God, having that type of relationship, we don't have to wait, of course, to get to heaven, but spending that time investing in God, there's nothing better that we can do. Investing and getting to know God and His Son, Christ Jesus. Okay, now that we have that, of course, that's first thing is investing our time in God, and then hopefully these other things that we're talking about will fall into place. I thought this was an interesting verse. I know some of you have probably read it before. We're transitioning now to family, investing in our family. Deuteronomy 24:5 says, if a man and a woman have been married less than 1 year, he must not be sent off to war or sent away to do forced labor. He must be allowed to stay home for a year and to be happy with his wife. So I thought this was neat. This is, of course, in the Old Testament law, but God saw that it was important for to not get married and then go off to war or go off to forced labor, to be at home with your wife at least for that first year. So I think this is showing in God's heart that it's important to acquire that relationship at the beginning, especially to acquire that relationship, that closeness, that oneness with your wife, with your husband, whatever the case may be, and to get to know them in a close, intimate way, to not get married and then go off to war, go off to forced labor, but to be with them. I think that is true for the first year, of course. It's in God's Word. I think it's also true as we go on through life that we take time out to spend with our spouse. I'm going to talk about this more in a little bit, but just a personal example that that I had recently. It was about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Lisa and I got to go to a place called Windshape. It's the guy Truett Cathy that owns Chick-fil-A sent us down there, and we had the opportunity to go with, it was about 76 other FCA couples that met, and we had speakers there, of course, that we went through, but it was just a time of being alone with your spouse to encourage one another and to spend time with each other with no distractions. There was no television after you get over that for just the first few minutes, no sports center or anything like that. There are no distractions. At first, it's kind of a shock to the system. But after the first 30 minutes or an hour or so, you get adjusted to that. It actually gave me peace and a calmness where I could be closer to Lisa and spend time with her. And we were able to communicate and talk more because of that. It was just a wonderful time. I recommend it for anyone. This was something that Truett Cathy, and I'll get to this later, but Truett Cathy, he's the one who started Chick-fil-A, and he donated this. Normally was $500 and some per couple, and he just donated this to 70-some couples to go down there. And even though I'm not coaching, I do Fellowship of Christian Athletes at the school, and he knows that coaching can take a lot of time away from the spouse, normally the wife, but it could be vice versa. And he wanted to do this to let the coach and the spouse spend time focused on each other. And it was a blessing to everybody that I saw. Just couldn't believe they just treat you so nice, like kings and queens, and you were just able to focus on each other. Just a tremendous blessing. So I would highly encourage you, if you've never done anything like that. I know they also have one at the Cove up where Billy Graham's from. That goes throughout the year. Family, Focus on the Family, I think, have one, A Weekend to Remember. Just time to spend focusing on your relationship with your spouse. So very important. Ephesians 5:22, a wife should put her husband first as she does the Lord. A husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the Savior of the church, which is his own body. Wives should always put their husbands first as the church puts Christ first. A husband should love his wife as much as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. He made the church holy by the power of his word, and he made it pure by washing it with water. Christ did this so that we would have a glorious and holy church without faults or spots or wrinkles or any other flaws. In the same way, a husband should love his wife as much as he loves himself. A husband who loves his wife shows that he loves himself. None of us hate our own bodies. We provide for them and take good care of them, just as Christ does for the church, because we are part of his body. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother to get married, and he becomes like one person with his wife. This is a great mystery, but I understand it to mean Christ and his church. So each husband should love his wife as much as he loves himself, and each wife should respect her husband. I think this is showing the importance of spending that time, of investing in the marriage relationship because it's a picture of Christ's love for the church. And I think that as you look out, as much divorce as there is, and there's one of my friends that's going through a tough time, separated from his wife. So I see this being a weakness of our culture. And as the body of Christ, the church, this should be a strength in the church. But the numbers on it, the percentages, show that we're not a whole lot different than the world as far as this. So I think this is something that we really need to invest in, is our relationship with our spouse. If Jesus Christ was going to relate the husband and wife relationship to his love for the church, then I think that our marriage, our relationship with our spouse, should be a wonderful picture to the world on Christ and the church. So we've seen so far that we need to invest time with God. We need to get close to God. And that's everything starts with that. If we're not close to God, we're not going to be a good husband. We're not going to be a good wife, whatever the case may be. We have to spend that time. Then it's important, if we want to be a good example for Christ loving the church, he gave himself up for us, then as husbands, wives, we need to do the same for each other. We need to show that that's an important relationship and it doesn't just happen. It takes work, it takes time, it takes effort. And we have to take our time away from the mundane little things that come up to distract us and go back and focus intentionally to spend time on that relationship. Now for the children. A few more verses about the wife. Proverbs 5:18 and the husband. Be happy with the wife you married when you were young. She is beautiful and graceful, just like a deer. You should be attracted to her and stay deeply in love with her. Proverbs 31:28. Her children praise her, and with great pride her husband says, there are many good women, but you are the best. What wife or what husband, if you turn it around, wouldn't love to hear that coming from their spouse? There are many good women, but you are the best. There are many good men, but you are the best. Building each other up and not tearing each other down. And now transition to the children. We have a lot of children here, and what a blessing that they are. And being a school teacher, a math teacher, it's sad to see that how many children come from broken homes. They don't know their fathers. You have to ask them what their parents' last name is. Sometimes they'll get offended on the phone if you call them by the wrong name. It's just a really sad situation, the state of our family and the places that some of our children live in. So I think that's another thing we should focus on, invest in, is investing in our children. Psalm 127:3-5 says, children are a blessing and a gift from the Lord. Having a lot of children to take care of in your old age is like a warrior with a lot of arrows. The more you have, the better off you'll be, because they will protect you when your enemies attack with arguments. So we see here that children are a blessing from God. They're a gift from God. Proverbs 22:6, teach your children right from wrong, and when they are grown, they will still do right. We need to take time to teach our children. Bringing them to church, to Bible studies, things like that. But they also need to see, especially the father, taking time for devotion, spending time in God's Word in front of them. They've done different research and things like that. The number one thing that will keep children in the church after they grow up is that they have a father that goes with them, someone that cares about them and shows them how important church is and God's Word is. Deuteronomy 6:7, and tell them to your children over and over again God's Word, His commandments. Talk about them all the time. Whether you're at home or walking along the road or going to bed at night or getting up in the morning, we need to constantly be telling them about God's Word, living God's word in front of them, not tell them, do as I say and not as I do, but do as I say and do as I do, because they're looking to us for an example. And a lot of times they will fall in the same patterns that we set for them when they're young. Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. I have to watch that one. Jenna could probably give a testimony to that one. She's getting ready to take the ACT this coming Saturday. And yesterday we did a practice ACT. And so I was the instructor and telling her, keeping the time and things like that. And she wasn't crazy about it. I did let her sleep in a couple hours longer than next Saturday she will. But I have to be careful about this myself, not to provoke children to wrath. Because I want them to do well, sometimes I go overboard with it. So I have to make sure that I try to encourage them and tell them that they're doing good and proud of them. Proverbs 23:14 kind of goes to the other side of this. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. And this is talking about that we love them enough to discipline them, that we don't just let them do what they want to do. I had a girl that just transferred from my brother Dave's school, Moorhead, and she's in my class, and she was having trouble with another student already. This was like the third day, getting ready to get in a fight, and I said, well, is there anything I can do? Can I help you? Can I call your mom? And she said, I don't have anything to do with my mom. My mom's scared of me. So that's the type of relationship that she had. She had gotten into, I don't know if a gang or not, but that type of behavior, and said that her mom was scared of her. But we see here that is very dangerous, to just let your children do whatever they want to do and not correct them. Because it says, if you shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. If they're not going to obey you and listen to you as a parent, chances are, God can do miracles, but chances are, they're not going to submit to God and His Word. So that begins in the home with the children and their parents. If you love them and invest time with them, you're going to teach them God's Word, you're going to discipline them, and you're going to encourage them, not provoke them to wrath, but you're going to encourage them. But that doesn't mean that you let them do what they always want to do, but you correct them, and that may deliver their soul from hell. So that's very serious. Okay, so we've seen investing in God, our relationship with God, investing in our marriage, investing with our children. And now the kind of the one that I've been focused on the most, it seems here lately, is investing in others. And we had an example of it at worship this morning. Our perfect example on this is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When he stopped at that pool to heal that lame man and give him eternal life, he was investing in somebody else. And you could go through probably thousands of examples just written in the Gospels on how Jesus Christ invested in other people. That was his purpose, was to come down here to save us. So we have plenty of examples for that. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in the service of others, so use your gift well. Okay, I think about just the chapel here as a body of Christ. I had a list that I was going through. I was thinking about each person in the chapel, and I was just thinking about their gift and what they're doing, how they're serving the Lord. I was going to just read them all out, but I was afraid I would leave somebody out. But I know that everyone is serving. This is a great testimony to investing in other people. The way that the chapel, the ones here at the chapel, invest in their kids, invest in each other, invest in their family, inviting their family to come to hear the Christmas play tonight. You have a heart for people, and you have a heart for the Lord. So it's just a wonderful thing to see so many people using their gift well. Mark 10:45 says, the Son of Man did not come to be a slave master, but a slave who will give his life to rescue many people. We see here Jesus again as a servant. He's rescuing people. Acts 20:35. By everything I did, I showed how you should work to help everyone who is weak. Remember that our Lord Jesus said, more blessings come from giving than from receiving. More blessings come from giving than from receiving. And I wanted to pause right here because it made such an impression on me what Truett Cathy, his son, I think, has now taken over. Bubba, I think, is his nickname, but has taken over Chick-fil-A. For him to do what he did for Lisa and I and 76 other couples, and he didn't even know us, to do that, it just spoke to my heart, to my spirit. And this is one of his quotes that he has. Nearly every moment of every day, we have the opportunity to give something to someone else. Our time, our love, our resources. I have always found more joy in giving when I did not expect anything in return. This is one of Truett Cathy's quotes that he lives by. He's got a bunch of others, but that's the type of way he runs his business, is by looking for ways to give extraordinary service that you wouldn't expect. Just one of those examples is the name of this story is Cow in a Nursing Home. Cow in a Nursing Home. My cousin and I DJ for Chick-fil-A. There are DJs for Chick-fil-A on family night in Elkington every other Thursday, leading activities like Super Bingo, Friendly Feud, and karaoke. We always have a packed house and customers have fun with the cow conga lines and the Cupid Shuffle. My mom and dad used to go to another large fast food chain every day until I finally convinced them to try Chick-fil-A. They never went back to the other competitor. Whenever they showed up, the Chick-fil-A employees opened the door for my dad's walker, greeted my parents warmly, and made a big deal out of my dad's World War II Navy veteran jacket. My parents even chose Chick-fil-A for their 67th anniversary date this year. In May, my father moved into a nursing home and could not come with my mother to Chick-fil-A anymore. The people at Chick-fil-A were very supportive, and Stephen Marcus even asked us if he and his team could honor my parents by bringing them lunch in the nursing home. On July the 7th, operator Harry Marcus and his son Stephen brought a huge tray of nuggets, sandwiches, coleslaw, and sweet tea into the Calvert Manor Nursing Home for my parents. They gave us special raving fan name badges. My mom almost cried when they told us they wanted us to become officially part of the Chick-fil-A family. After the meal, Stephen came into the room dressed like a cow. My dad laughed and gave him a kiss, and we went to visit delighted patients throughout the building. My cousin responded to this article that Cecil Wigg published about the event. This is an amazing story. Thank you, Chick-fil-A, for making them feel so welcomed and loved. No other restaurant would ever do that. Wish we had them here in Las Vegas. We need a wholesome, loving, real restaurant here. I will visit one every chance I get. I travel quite a bit for my job and have stopped at many Chick-fil-A restaurants. At Elkington, the team members go above and beyond to serve people and make them feel at home. Thank you, Chick-fil-A. There's hundreds and hundreds of other stories by this one man that God has blessed, Truett Cathy. He's got over 1,600 stores, sold over $1 billion worth of Chick-fil-A. But more important than that, he could have probably had more. But one thing that he does that refers back to my first point, spending time with God, he closes every Sunday. And to make that statement, to show people that God comes first, family comes first before his business, is making a big statement there, and a witness to other people. How they treat people when you go in there, they make you feel special. Can I fill up your drink? Can I do this for you? Can I help you clean up the table? Just the different things they do. You can see, I can't tell you that all of them are Christians, but you can see the way they're acting. A lot of them in there are. And it all comes from him being willing to make a stand and show that he's investing in God, investing in his family. He's investing in the people that he doesn't just let anybody open a Chick-fil-A. They interview him. He used to interview them one-on-one. It got so big that now he has to kind of delegate that out. But they interview and make sure it's the type of person that is going to lead this company in the way they want them to go. Christian principles, caring about their employees, caring about the patrons that come in there, the customers. They have a philosophy that I think we can learn from, and it is a Christian, a biblical philosophy. If we can, myself, number one, give people extraordinary service in whatever our gift is, whatever our call of life is, wherever we work, if we can give this type of service, maybe the way he got my attention by what he did for me, the way he gets attention here, we can get people's attention to say there's something different about Truett Cathy. There's something different about so-and-so here. What is that difference? That gives us an open door to share the gospel of Christ with them. So I just encourage us to follow that example. Going on now in Galatians 5:13. My friends, you were chosen to be free, so don't use your freedom as an excuse to do anything you want. Use it as an opportunity to serve each other with love. All the law says can be summed up in the command to love others as much as you love yourself. Love others as much as you love yourself. That seems like that would be easy to do, but honestly, it's a hard thing to do. Think about all the things that we do for ourselves, making sure we're fed, cleaned, clothed, everything we do that we a lot of times get our wants. Do we really love others as we do ourselves? John 13:12 says, "And Jesus had washed his disciples' feet and put in his outer garment back on. He sat down. Then he said, 'Do you understand what I've done? You call me teacher and Lord, and you should, because that is who I am. And if your Lord and teacher has washed your feet, you should do the same for each other.'" Here we see the main example, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, being a servant, investing in others, caring about others. Philippians chapter 2, "Christ encourages you and his love comforts you. God's Spirit unites you and you are concerned for others. Now make me completely happy. Live in harmony by showing love for each other. Be united in what you think, as if you were only one person. Don't be jealous or proud, but be humble and consider others more important than yourselves. Care about them as much as you care about yourselves, and think the same way that Christ Jesus thought. Christ was truly God, but he did not try to remain equal with God. Instead, he gave up everything and became a slave when he became like one of us. Christ was humble. He obeyed God and even died on the cross. Then God gave Christ the highest place and honored his name above all others. So at that name of Jesus, everyone will bow, those in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And to the glory of God the Father, everyone will openly agree Jesus Christ is Lord." So even though Jesus was God, he was willing to submit himself to come down here to earth, to make that big step down, to serve us, to come down here to save us, to wash feet, to heal people, to teach people. He was willing to make that step. How much more should we be willing because of what he's done for us? Matthew 5:16, make your light shine so that others will see the good that you do and will praise your Father in heaven. Let our light shine. Don't cover it up, but let it shine by serving others. Matthew 10:39, if you try to save your life, you will lose it. But if you give it up for me, you will surely find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me also welcomes the one who sent me. Anyone who welcomes a prophet just because that person is a prophet will be given that same reward as the prophet. Anyone who welcomes a good person just because that person is good will be given the same reward as a good person. And anyone who gives one of my most humble followers just a cup of cool water just because that person is my follower will surely be rewarded. We see here about Jesus telling people about rewards. If you invite someone in, a prophet, invite them in, you'll get the same reward. If you just give someone a cool cup of water, you'll be rewarded. So we shouldn't do it for the reward, but we should serve to show Christ to other people. And getting ready to close, if you will, turn to Matthew 20. I was two or three times this morning I was getting ready to stand to share this at worship. And it was just such a full worship today. I didn't do that, but I wanted to share this with you. Kind of relates to the story that Brother Steve shared about the lame man at the pool and how Jesus invests in people. Matthew 20, starting with verse 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting on by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet, but they cried out all the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." So Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. What struck me this morning and when I was studying this is that sometimes we get so busy. We get so busy, we're on such a tight schedule, we've got to make it by this certain time, we've got to be there, we don't want to be late, we're just running from here to there. Of course, Jesus was going from one town here to another, and he was had more important things to do than, of course, that I do. But look right here in verse 32. This portion right here really spoke to me. So Jesus stood still. He stood still. He didn't walk by. He didn't keep on going. And I was thinking of this, relating it to us spiritually. Up in heaven, I don't know, pretend to know all that was going on before Jesus came to earth, but I'm sure that he was busy. He had important things to do. But he stood still and he called us out. He took time. He stopped what he was doing. He followed the Father's will and he came down here to save us. And that spoke to me that sometimes I get too busy with my daily life, and there are opportunities probably all around me, and I'm missing them because I've got like blinders on, and I'm missing things that are going on. And I'm thankful that Jesus stood still and called me out, and that he loved us that much. And I just, this spoke to me that I need to be more like Jesus in this to stand still, to be more quiet and not be rushing and running all the time. But look for opportunities to invest in people. To look around. There's people that all around us that need Jesus, that need God's love, that we need to stand still and be looking for them and not just be running from one thing to the next. The last verse I'd like to close with is 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for investing in us. I thank you that you gave the best of heaven for us. You invested your Son to save us. I thank you for that. Help us to invest at daily time with you, that we can have a close relationship where we'll have you to share with other people, that you'll just be bubbling out of us because we just want to tell others about you because we're so close to you. Help us also to invest time with our spouse and our children. Help us to be good husbands and good wives and good fathers and good mothers, that we can be a light to the world around us as they see how Christ gave himself for the church. When they see our marriages, that it will reflect that type of self-sacrifice and love, that it's not of this world. It's not what they do for me, then I do for them, but it's that we just give and give and give because we love them the way you gave for us. Help us also to take the blinders off. Help us to have eyes like you had, that you stopped. You stopped what you were doing to give these blind men sight. We thank you for that. We thank you most of all that you stopped and you came down here to earth and you relieved us of spiritual blindness and you saved us by dying on the cross. We thank you for that. Just help me and help all of us to invest more time with you and with our families and with others. I pray that your Holy Spirit will just take control of us and help us in this, because we can't do it on our own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.